This is Tony, a.k.a. Iron Man. I'm a modeler and developer with Team Red Pack.
This is Jeremiah, a.k.a. Lishroom, a developer for Team Red Pack.
This is Jared. I'm a developer for Team Red Pack.
This is Gabriel, a.k.a. GQ Tracker, and I'm project manager, developer, modeler, scripter for Team Red Pack. And you're listening to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
This is so exciting. Wow. Where to begin?
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at NeverwinterNightsPodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, folks. This is Skunk Keen, a.k.a. Wild Hydro.
That's funny. Hey, and this is... Who am I? This is Trey, a.k.a. Ashercon. Hello, my fine feathered friends.
And I'm Shauna, a.k.a. Cat Dragonstar, and you're listening to episode 112 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Excellent. Wild Hydro, huh?
That's me.
Did you see my comment about that?
No, sir.
That's very weird because I thought the exact same thing.
You thought that?
Yeah. So I went and checked it out. That's actually a real listener.
Nope, it's me.
See, so you were just...
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's me. Whenever you would... I could easily do that through a proxy. And see, like, whenever there's, like, lots of times I used to, like, post flames to myself in community forums just for attention like that.
But they're different IPs.
So you go through a proxy. All good.
I know, but I also... Are you sure?
Yeah, there's just no way of BSing you, is there?
No, because I got on Facebook and I know that person's email address that signed up on our forums, and the name and the email address is the same as the last name of the last person who joined on Facebook.
All right, okay. I'll
There is no fooling, Trey.
Wild Hydro, I just wanted you to hook us up with a listener hello sometime, please. And if you weren't willing to do that, I was going to do it myself as you. So, but thanks for hooking up with our forums.
Yeah.
And being a good sport on top of it.
You still love me, don't you, Skunk?
You're ruining my reputation, which is all right. I do that pretty much on my own, too.
I don't know. That's too much information there, guys. I don't think I'm quite ready for that.
Okay, hey, also joining us tonight is GQ Tracker, who is a member of the Red Pack, who we're going to have an interview of later in the show. So,
Gabriel, I have to tell you that you rock with all the news info that you put up on our forums.
Yeah.
You are really wicked.
You like that stuff?
Oh, yeah, you find great stuff.
For all those that are listening and don't know, this is GQ Tracker, a.k.a. Gabriel, who's also going to be in our interview later in the show. But also, he gathers news for us, quite a bit of news. And we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks. Oh, yeah. I was wondering, because... I used to do this a long time ago with, you remember when EQ was in beta, or EverQuest? I did a media online, and it gave me a pass to get in there, you know, those media passes to get on those betas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So these things aren't as exciting. It may be dragging the game that's coming up is, but betas just aren't exciting anymore like they used to be.
Well, I know it is that having your news there certainly made things a lot easier for me today as I was scrambling around pulling the show notes together. So you have my eternal gratitude.
So when we get to a couple of the items that you threw in there for us today, go ahead and jump in if you want.
Okay.
So with that, we're going to jump into the news, and then we'll get on to the interview. What did you dig up for us today, Dragonstar?
Well, you know, there are gamers out there who think Ravenloft is the be-all and end-all, And so they should be very glad to see it that for Neverwinter Nights 2 that, let me see if I can get this right, Seraphim Sage 1 has just released his beta mod called Ravenloft Revelations. He's been working on this for 3 years.
Wow.
So, you know, it's either really, really good or it's really, really bad, one or the other. But certainly a Ravenloft fanatic is going to want to check that out. We'll put the link up to it on the show notes.
So, hey, Skunk, what's this that you posted about NWN2 Star Drive? Man, that looks like awesome.
Yeah, that does look pretty wicked. That it looks like it's a science fiction conversion for Neverwinter Nights 2. And this fellow that's working on it, is it Yodel? Something, but,
I think it's Yoderman.
Yeah, that's it.
Yoderman. Yeah.
And the fella hasn't completed it yet, but he's working on it. And, folks, check out the link. It's amazing.
I know. I'm looking at some of the screenshots right now. Oh, my goodness.
It's pretty fascinating. And I mean, he's got a player's guide and all kinds of things already.
Man, it looks like Star Wars.
Yeah. It looks really good, folks. I mean, you got to check this out. It's really amazing. He's got tons of screenshots, and it's a complete total conversion for this. I could ramble about how wicked this looks. I'm really excited to see this.
Even the main screen is different.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it now. It looks like you can control small colonies. And here it looks like you replace stellar nations instead of deities. So it sounds like there's some swaying by being affiliated with other nations. So it looks really awesome.
Well, he said there was like 2.3 gig of content.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it took to build this.
Yeah, he's actually doing something similar to what we're doing, where he's going to release the teaser first, which is a single player, you know, where you take your own little group in with you and you get familiar with a little bit, a little history. And then he's going to release, it looks like, an even bigger module. I don't know how many hours this is going to be. Crazy.
Yeah, the fellas in the NWN2 CR IRC room were talking about it, and everybody just like was like, who is this guy? Where is he? Is he like working in the basement, working on this amazing stuff? But yeah, definitely, Yoderman, if you're listening, we definitely want to know more about this when you do release it.
Somebody needs to interview him.
Yeah, I agree.
It says he's taking him 2 years. He's been working on it for 2 years.
Oh,
I believe it.
It's amazing.
Yes, put that man on that list.
Yeah,
we got a long list of interviews coming up someday.
Hey, speaking of interviews, I've got a contact in the industry, the actual gaming industry, that does the user guides for all the main games. I guess about 6 months ago he did the Warhammer user guide.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but he's got a company that's branched out, and they got this really cool thing. Anyway, it's an integrated user's guide where it's actually integrated into the game. And so it's not just a manual you hold on your lap anymore. You can actually pull it up while you're in the game. Anyway, would you guys be interested in interviewing him?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Has he had anything for Neverwinter Nights?
I'm trying to – he's done so many games. Yeah. It's insane. You know, he's done all the big games. But what I'm trying to do is, because he's my ace in the hole, if you will, you know, down the road, is ask him if I could just do a little piece of that, a little demo with my mod that we're going to release.
GQ, you want to talk about the XCOM Area 51 version 3 that you found out about?
Sure. There's a new mod out called the XCOM Area 51 version 3. I don't know if anybody remember playing that game. it's fun, like one of the first little front-person player games where you were in third-person view. Do you guys remember that game?
No. I think I remember hearing about it. I didn't play it, though.
Yeah, that'd be actually interesting to see how he did that in a 3D aspect. Anyway, there's approximately 28 missions, ideally played in 2-hour sessions each. The game also supports a play-by-form addendum for research and manufacturing.
Yeah, Mulu and Lazy Bones have put that out under D20 Modern, and there's some indications that this mod will be part of a trilogy set in this, and there, and Mulu and Lazy Bones are working on the other two mods now. You guys probably know more about this than I do, but Matthew Rory is the new marketing and PR producer for Obsidian. Didn't he take Rob McGinnis's place?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was, just as of today, was posting a giveaway contest for a copy of Storm of Zaheer, just kind of trying to get his feet wet and kind of let everybody know who he was, who he is. He also talked about they are working on a hot fix patch for 1.2.3 to fix fix some of the problems that have shown up in their most recent patch. So that sounds like a good start.
Yeah, we've had him on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. See, that's what I get for not knowing everything.
Yeah, he's not new to the marketing and PR, but he's new to the being the NWN2 community organizer, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, front man, like how Rob was. But yeah, Matt, you're a cool fellow. We like you here, so you're pretty much welcome to come onto the show with us anytime you want to.
BitMob has a question and answer session with Alan Miranda of Ossian Studios about Mysteries of Westgate and the trials and tribulations of a small studio versus the big guys. Might be an interesting read.
Yeah, it was when I was looking at it. It had some pretty good stuff in it on, you know, just what it takes to produce something like Mysteries of Westgate. I found it interesting.
I guess BitMob is a community gaming website, looks like.
Yeah.
I never really considered Ossian Studios as being small. I mean, they got quite a lot of talent in that group.
I tend to think that way as well. I never kind of really thought of them as small either.
I agree, but it appears that they do.
I guess so.
Have either of y'all played Mysteries of Westgate yet?
Not yet.
I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still fighting my way through the original one.
Oh, yeah. What about you, Gabriel?
No, I haven't actually got to that. In between creating our own mods as well as playing the original game all the way through without cheating, we're and there's four of us that are doing it at the same time, so getting us all together at the same time to do it.
Well, I played it right as it came out, and it was good. It was good. I could babble about it, but y'all think I'm probably full of it. It's a good story.
Yeah, we've heard you talk about it before.
I've read many reviews.
Yeah, it's a must to get. Mm-hmm. It's a must.
Well, I've got it. I just haven't played it yet.
You think I should play it before I play Storm of Zaheer?
I kind of really like Storm of Zaheer better myself, but Mysteries of Westgate is a good, like, more of a gothic kind of a tale. Play it right after Storm of Zaheer if you already started on Storm of Zaheer.
I landed, just got off the ship and killed a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm confused about the next news item, which is the Neverwinter Enhanced Team releases Neverwinter Nights Enhanced version 1.1. Now,
right.
is that Project Q?
No, that is not.
I'm confused because
this is where they have taken aspects of Neverwinter Nights 1 and tried to bring it more into what D&D is, and upgrading some of the things that they have added into it, like they've added new monsters, they've added new placeables, they've added new prestige classes like the Red Wizard and the Thayan Knight. They've added new armor. They've worked some of the spells around so that they are actually function more like the actual D&D spells do.
Okay, so help me, Skunk. Is this Six and Mask and Winterhawk and all those guys?
Well, it is over at
RPG Modding.
RPG Modding, yeah, yeah. They host their forums over there, and one of the coolest parts of it is ACP, the alternate combat animations, which have you ever seen that? There was a release for it, an updated one for it, and the fighting styles in that really enhanced the gaming greatly. It really tears me between CEP and that, because CEP uses some of the same lines for that combat fighting. But really, folks, if you want to like keep your hacks down to like a minimum, ACP is a must.
The moving force behind Neverwinter Nights Enhanced is PST Marie.
Oh, okay.
And Cervantix.
I'm sorry, I get all these little groups mixed up because they all have homes on RPGmodding.com.
Right.
And there's, you're right, there's CTP and Neverwinter Enhanced, Community Sky Pack, all that stuff over there. I'm sorry, I guess. I get it all mixed up.
It's my fault, too, because I ended up rambling about some of the other goodies in there that I like.
So I guess that's kind of a place where there's these little subgroups that are putting all kinds of cool stuff out.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Sorry.
Let's clarify. That's Neverwinter Nights 1?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Neverwinter Nights 1. Because
mm-hmm. that's what we plan to do in our mods.
Is what?
Different combat fighting movements for the models.
Oh, yeah,
additional stuff. So, like for example, you know, tumble. You see just a word pop up, you'll actually get to see your guy tumble.
Oh, well, that'll be cool.
Exactly. Yeah, we're gonna fill the gaps in so that your role play experience is complete.
Are you going to have climbing?
We're going to do as many as we possibly can without breaking somebody's bandwidth when downloading.
Always a good point, but it's good for role play, and it's neat to see those kinds of things. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Amaze us the best you can.
We'll do that. We'll try.
Okay, anything else we want to talk about before we head into the interview?
I think I'm good.
I could easily make up something.
Would you guys do with the that round table? Is that still going or no?
The Girl Gamer round table?
Yeah.
We released that Sunday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Part two.
So is that going to be an ongoing thing or?
Well, I don't know.
Not the women's.
You mean like round tables?
Yeah, well, I thought there was going to be a gamer round table. An actual developing.
Oh yeah, we could. Yeah, we had talked about putting one together, another one together.
Right, and that could be as you know. I wanted to emphasize your post in there about community. You know, anybody can actually go out there, like you were saying. Well, do I want to interview this person?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Yeah, I could, but I'd rather be able to just provide. You know, hopefully, you can get somebody in the profession, and you know, like you guys did with Say Now, that was awesome. You know.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We like to encourage if people in the community want to do interviews for the show, hey, that's awesome too. But if you want to go try to gather one up and send it to us, we'll do that as well. So
how's the two-week How's the 2 week rollout working for you guys?
I love it actually.
Not as hectic.
Yeah.
I've been needing it too myself.
There is a ton of work that goes into doing the podcast. It's more than just people sitting down and turning on their microphones.
Yeah.
So I think it's amazing that you all have been able to do it week after week after week after week. It's very impressive work that you've done.
We've talked about it before. I mean, it's kind of like putting together little mini modules every week or however often you do it.
And I roam throughout the community for Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 and pretty much make an ass out of myself everywhere I go. So
no, you don't.
Wonderful.
Okay, just a little.
Yeah. a little bit.
We still love you, Skunk.
Love you, too.
So, GQ.
Yes.
I got the privilege of listening to the interview before we aired here in a couple minutes. Sounds like you guys had some fun. Four guys and one mic, huh?
Yeah, that was interesting. Well, we started out, of course, it was, you know, a little nerves, but you know, as soon as we started getting into it, and we kind of just, you know, like when we sit down to work, it worked out really well, and that's how we like to do it. We like to have fun.
Yeah, I could tell at the beginning y'all kind of filling each other out and had a little slow there at the beginning, but then once you got into it, y'all rolled.
Yeah, yeah. I hope it's entertaining for a lot of people, and that a lot of people show a lot of interest, not just in what we're doing, but maybe, you know, spark some more interest in what they had originally done.
Yeah, so sit back and take a listen to the Red Pack. In this interview, they do one of the rare things that a module team does is they actually give a release date.
Jeez.
And also you'll discover and you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, that you're going to release a module as well as a persistent world.
That's correct.
Right? So they talk about that in the interview as well. So sit back and listen to A Pack of Wolves.
Okay, hi, tonight we have the Red Pack, a new modeling team. I've had the privilege exploring some of their areas. They have been quite busy building before they even went public. Not only have module project, they have jumped right in helping the community. Liz Drew has been offering banner art for the Neverwinter Nights podcast, and GQ Tracker scouring the net and submitting great news for the show. They've also added two new team members, Gerard and Tony, both working on modeling and development. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Yeah, hi, I'm Gabriel, with aka GQ Tracker. I've been playing games and role play, as well as pen and paper and video, for over 20 years. I also have dabbled in game design and creation as early as id Software days with Quake 1. Using their engine. So just had a lot of fun lately, and we started to get back into it, and we finally decided to pursue our dreams as where this was going.
Hi, my name is Jared Keith, and a.k.a. Junkie Man, all caps, by the way. I got into this just because I've been a vidiot, and I've played video games my whole life to the point where my eyes hurt, and I got into graphic design for about 5 years, and then went to school for it and did architectural engineering via AutoCAD and then mechanical engineering via 3D Studio Viz. So it kind of transfers real nice to this Neverwinter tool set, and I really enjoy using it. So it's been a very exciting experience.
Hi, Jeremiah, a.k.a. Listrum. And well, I was introducing these games long time ago when GQ Tracker did with UO. Since then, scripted, made shards, played every roleplay game under the sun, pen, paper, everything. From there, I kind of went off to do graphics, which I enjoy a lot. Check out the banners. Professional student going for programming. Check that out.
Ultima Online for the win. Yes.
Yeah.
Played it for 8 years. Okay, next.
Hey, I'm Tony, a.k.a. Iron Man. I actually have a degree in advanced computer graphics and multimedia, and I'm also just a really big game fanatic, playing all kinds of games, RPGs, action, whatever I can play. I've been doing it since I could, since I was, I think, 1.5. And anyways, I got with this group, and it's great, and it looks like this is what I want to do for my future. This is what I've been looking for, the chance, so it's exciting, the capital E.
The hell with potty training. Give me a game controller.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, gotta learn coordination somehow.
I think my first digital game was Pong. So, and then Atari, of course.
Oh my God.
I'm the same age as Gabriel.
Yes, I know. Shh.
Shh. It's a secret. Either that or I've been 29 for 14 years.
I like that.
Yeah. It's a talent. Okay, okay. Serious faces now. Yeah, right. Four guys all crunched together around one mic. How serious can we get?
As soon as you said that, everybody in the room did a serious face. It was great.
Okay, how did your team come together?
Well, most of our team came together through
pen and paper RPG games. We all share that kind of common bond. And the other team members that have come in just share a passion for gaming that we all do. And through that, we've all pretty much made it a good goal.
So you're taking your skills and working it into your hobby.
I don't know if they're skills. More of a hobby working into skills. Either way around.
Well, a couple of you are actually edumacated in this.
It's true.
Yeah. So you're taking your skills and implementing it into your hobby. That's pretty cool. But that's what this whole community is about, though. There's so much talent, and anything you guys do is appreciated by all the players. So trust me, you'll reap your rewards, at least by, you know, the whole fanfare.
Yeah.
You get all those wonderful comments, and they'd like to tell you what bugs that you have. And if you misspell anything, don't misspell anything, because that's the first thing people notice.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
You're an idiot.
It's not spelt there. It's spelt there.
Oh, great. Don't let me do the spelling.
Yeah. I shall pass everything through spell check first.
Well, you know what really gets me with spell check is the fact that if you misspell a word, but it's an actual word, you won't catch it.
Yeah.
I know. Well, that's where your grammar.
Yeah, well, that's why I have, like, three other people proofread first. Not even spelling either.
Yeah.
Looks good to me. Yeah.
So what goals do you have entering the world of module building?
Well, since we've been playing for so long, we have we know the likes and dislikes of gaming that's out there, and we believe a goal, number one, is to push everything that's available now to the limits. Obviously, it's an illusion that's being created out there, but we want to educate the players out there as well as our learning curve that we're going through to learn how to not only develop a game, because we're already world creators doing the pen and paper, where we go into detail and create all the plot lines, quests, and all of that, but now we're going to go in and actually create the illusion of a true RP and bring it to the players. At the same time, we're going to be severely educated because we're really going to be pushing all of the limits.
Anybody else?
It covers the gambit, really, that we all share that that goal immensely in our hearts. And you know, we just have a passion for it, and we want to bring something that's a lot different and a different feeling. We hit all the sensories, you know, throw in some geometry.
Is there going to be a test?
Yes.
No, but we're going to create an experience by creating all these illusions. So we're going to hit every sensory that we possibly can.
With the different type of module communities out there, what about Neverwinter Nights 2 community appealed to you?
Honestly, in complete and utter honesty, it was because everybody was so open. They just said, you're doing this? Come on in. Enjoy. We felt at home. I mean, we still feel at home. Even the stuff that people are doing that they want to keep secret, they're still open about it.
Mm-hmm.
Sense. And we, I don't want to get all like mushy, but we fell in love with it. We like it. We found a bunch of other people with similar goals, interests, and it's comfortable. And we can learn from these people and maybe learn a few things or maybe teach a few things in return.
I can't say it enough. This community truly gives a new meaning to the community feel. It is a unique community, truly. All the builders, developers, artists, scripters, everybody, they all lend a hand helping each other if anybody needs help. I've noticed that, you know, at great monumental lengths that people have just, you know, gone above and beyond helping each other out.
Absolutely. That was the first thing I saw was matched passion. You know, they were still excited. They've been doing it for years. And how could you go wrong?
Well, and it just makes it funner when you have people that are willing to help you out. You know, you can walk in knowing nothing and come out, you know, being almost an expert in it because there's not that many people an expert in this field, so it's kind of nice.
Absolutely. Will this be a city or open area exploration module, or both?
Yes, it will be both.
Fabulous.
We plan to put in a nice balance so you don't feel like you're always, you know, stuck inside a little town or inside a underground cavern. We plan to, like I said, going back to the illusion, creating something that is a real-time experience that will just blow your mind.
Well, after running around your areas, I kind of knew the answer already, but the rest of the people didn't.
Right, and thank you for all your feedback, and we're going to open that up hopefully to the players here eventually so that they could also come back with some feedback if they'd like.
Fabulous. Are you able at this point to give a little teaser on the story and plot?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, give it up.
Two things. The world is young, and the deities will be involved.
The 80s? Wait a minute, did you say the 80s?
The deities. The gods.
Oh, I was like, oh, God.
The punk rock is the rule.
There's going to be, like, you know, Tears for Fears music in the background or what?
Yes, with go-go girls.
And big hair.
Hair bands, yeah. Just for that, I'm making a hair band god.
Hiding all my 80s pictures.
No, the deities will be heavily involved. We felt that kind of lacking in some of the other places.
Cool.
And the rest of the teaser will be written and posted in a few months' time.
All right.
On our website.
Will this be a single-player module, or will you be adding multiplayer?
It'll be both. We're going to start out with a teaser kind of to get a feel for our game and what our gameplay is going to be like, the possibilities.
Like a prologue?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's going to be single player. But then that's just a teaser. What we're releasing is going to be a multiplayer game, Persistent World, with the ability you can also play single player in there, you know, if you don't feel like being friendly.
I guess I'm a non-friendly person. I play single player all the time.
Yes. We'll cater to you as well.
Yeah.
Thank you. For us non-friendly people. How has this process been for you all thus far?
Well, I think it's been really, really exciting for us all because we've all wanted to break into this. You know, I mean, that's every kid's dream that plays a lot of video games is to become a video game maker themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this has given us all the opportunity to really jump into it and not just learn one aspect, but to learn the whole gambit of all the tools and everything that we can do. And from that, we can push all limits. Being that we're four guys in a little room, we can really bounce off the walls, you know, and come up with some funky ideas. So we're all really excited. And myself especially, I kind of been out of the loop as far as graphic design for a while, and I'm excited to be back in it.
So is that like the Red Pack team, a.k.a. four guys in a little room?
Hopefully it'll be more down the road.
We're yeah.
apparently excited.
Yeah, we're looking at
the guys in the
room.
But assuming nobody's going to be able to move.
I hope you guys have good deodorant. Okay. How do you find the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set, your likes and dislikes? We're getting some nasty noise in the background.
Sorry, that was a big bad wolf.
Yeah, answer your question again.
How do you guys find the Neverwinter Nights 2 tool set, i.e. your likes or dislikes?
Well, for myself personally, I did a lot of 3D Studio Viz with the mechanical engineering, and the tool is almost, you know, similar to that. So I jumped right in and was able to identify a lot of stuff, and it's really easy to use and really fun because the final, you know, outcome of a few days worth of work is really remarkable on what you can get done. And I think that's why we're all so excited because we can see our results so fast, and it's just really mind-blowing the capacity that this tool has.
I like the learning curve of it. I wasn't personally familiar with the tool set at all, and with just a few weeks, a week maybe, it taught me so much, and I was, as Jared said, able to see results, which just pushed me further.
I personally like the challenge of creating the illusion of it doing what it can't do, if that makes sense. You know, going underneath something which you can't go underneath, or traversing something that isn't normally traversable.
Play stuff something like by Adam Miller, and you'll know that all of us understand that.
Okay.
he pushes the game to the breaking point.
Adam Miller, will definitely be looking at his stuff.
Yes, he did Loot Hero and Pirate Cards and Dark Waters 1 and 2. He's been a busy guy.
Dark Waters based off of that really, really old TV show?
No.
Oh, I feel cheated.
Close.
He is a scripter of madness. He's done amazing things. He's really big in the community. I've interviewed him before, so if you guys ever get a chance, go listen to his interview. He's a really great guy. He's nice.
Sweet. Well, we really hope to entice some of those ingenious people once we start to show some of the craziness.
Okay, I am not ever going to ask the cursed release date, but do you guys have a guesstimation when you might have something out?
Well, as the aforementioned...
What quarter of the year, maybe?
The introductory module, the teaser to introduce to the full plot line, will be released roughly 6 months from now.
All right.
And after that, we're shooting for another 3 months before we release a possibly Persistent World.
So you guys are actually going to host a Persistent World?
Yep. we want to do both.
Wow. Ambitious people.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, piece of cake.
The ambition is the piece of cake.
Yeah.
We all have spades of that.
Also, this the PW will actually be a sequential pieces of it, because we're releasing regions at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be massive.
Awesome. Being we have such a talented community, are there any assets from the vault that you'll be using?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've already started to do some research on that just to see what's out there. There's a ton of content on the Neverwinter Nights vault. The problem I'm running into is I'm emailing these people and I'm not getting any responses, because I like to give credit where credit's due and ask them, you know, of course, their permission, if they're okay with it, because we might actually change some of it. The last thing we want to do is reinvent the wheel if it's already out there. And then give credit for those people who created some beautiful stuff. I mean, this is incredible stuff. And so what we're going to be doing now would be looking at mods, as well as custom content via modeling, also other scripts that people have done, DM clients, stuff like that.
Well, I do know that if they are downloadable and usable by the community, as long as you put their name in it, they're usually cool with that, because they go in understanding that once it's on the vault that it's usable by others. It's just, you know, give credit where credit's due.
Absolutely.
Roll them in the credits.
Definitely.
Are you looking for any more team members?
Yes. We are actively looking for team members. I mean, we realize our ambitions and our goals here are huge, and we're looking for as much help as we can get. And once again, we're looking for people's modules they've already created as well. People want to ask us if, you know, they want to put something in our game after they've gone to our website and read the little teaser about it and they think it would fit in or something. We're always welcome to that, and we're welcome to people helping out with anything from, you know, creating models, scripting, texturing, all that stuff.
Do you have a list of people you're looking for and what positions on your website?
Well, the list is quite expansive. I mean, as you know, when creating these things, you've got everything from voiceovers to scripting and creating histories, backgrounds, side quests. Everybody knows about what scripting and modeling and module creation is. But, you know, when you really get into the nitty-gritty of it, people who don't have those skills can actually help in other areas in a tremendous way. I know that you did an interview with, what's his name?
Slowdive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a really comprehensive list of what he needs people that you know, help with.
Right.
So we're going to create something. Right now we just kind of have a big wall, and we'll throw some lead on it and see if anybody will come and fill up the form at the site.
We were
kicking around an idea as we complete things that we want to complete for our project within those individual pieces, kicking around the idea of posting what we needed at the time when we were going to implement it so that we don't flood what we need out there before we have room for it.
Actually, I just want to give special thanks to some of the pillars of the community, like you, for one.
I'm a quitter, remember?
No, you're not a quitter. It's just your time to move on to other things. You've been there for a lot of people and thrown a lot of energy and your heart into it. Another person that I can think off the top of my head is Grinning Fools. You know, he immediately, caught on to my excitement, asked me what was going on, although he didn't have enough time because he's got his own project going on. And there's several others over on the IRC channel that all go in, and they're always willing to talk, chat. Nobody's, it's like unconditional when you go in there.
I agree.
That was beautiful. I just appreciate the interest showed in Red Pack. It's reciprocal. We showed interest in others. Now others are showing interest in us because we're excited. It's catchy. I just wanted to say thanks.
Oh, did you want to know how Red Pack, the name, came about?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So how about you tell me?
You said, no, you don't.
No, she didn't know. Red Pack came about through a very special character in one of our pen and paper games.
Ah.
Yeah, he had an influence with red animals.
Yeah.
And we narrowed it down to wolves.
Red wolves.
Or a pack of animals, regardless.
Yeah. Basically, what it boils down to is, a lot of people out there, maybe that actually listen to this, that are lurkers, there's some huge talent out there that maybe don't think they're talent, and we call them like lone wolves, and that's what we are, a pack of wolves or predators who've come together and taken that that energy and transmutated it to creativity.
Predators. Creative predators.
Yeah, well, okay.
There you go again with those beautiful...
That's like an oxymoron.
What? Is it now?
Predators destroy.
Hey, you can be creative in the way you hunt.
Yeah, this is true.
You must destroy to create.
that's... No,
That just sounds wrong.
Destroying perceptions by blowing,
their minds?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like blow up the world. Let's see what kind of organisms form after it's all over.
Well, we're just going to put it back together.
We'll recreate it. We got a plan.
That was a good statement.
Well, I'd like to tell listeners, please visit the Red Pack website and forums. Keep an eye on what this new team is up to, and we will have their website on the show notes. I'd like to thank you guys for coming. It's been a fantastic interview, very informative. It was great to meet all of you. I already have talked to a couple of you, and I know that Jeremiah does not like talking. But he has done well. I'm proud of you. Okay, do you guys have any last comments?
I do have one more last thing. Gabe kind of touched on it. The people don't know that they can do this. If anybody's played a board game, anybody's read a creative book and enjoyed it and, thought of ideas beyond the book that weren't written, can do this. It's that simple. You're creating a story with pictures. And if you can write the story, you can learn how to make it come alive with pictures.
Unless you're me.
Okay.
Then you just have other people do it.
Okay. Yes, exactly.
Can learn, and honestly want to learn.
Okay, so what? I don't want to.
There you go.
Why? I have other people who will do it.
There you go.
Exactly.
I have all of you guys that will do it so that I can go play.
We'll build the wheel for you so you can get in the cart and ride to the market and buy some nice clothes or something.
Hey, you did an awesome job. Thank you for coaching us through this. And
you guys did an awesome job with the interview. Thank you.
I hope it comes out real fresh and you take care. And I'm sorry I missed your birthday.
Oh, no worries. Yeah. I didn't.
Guys, have a great night. Tony and Jared, it was great meeting you.
And can't wait to see more areas, and I'm happy to do screenshots for you guys if you want me to.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Good night, Michelle. On the count of three, everybody say Red Pack. Three.
Come on, man. We're being serious. Ready? One, two, three.
Red Pack!
And we're back. Yeah. Hey, Gabriel. So any updates? Any updates that you want to give us since you did the interview? Any new information that wasn't in the interview?
Well, we had additional modder, which he actually showed up at the same time during the interview. But he's pretty much done right now, and he's just rocking and rolling. Not much more to really say right now. It's just we're putting the story in full definition so that as people come on, we can actually give them something to, bite into versus, kind of winging it and hoping that they can be creative enough to do something.
Cool. Well, hey, man, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, thanks, guys, for having me on. I'm not a great talker. Now I can do, like, voiceovers and stuff like that. But, you guys are, I have to hand it to you. You really do a great job.
Great interview, Gabriel. Glad to meet you.
It was a pleasure to meet you guys. Take care.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Bye. Bye. That was a pretty fascinating interview. I admire people who will just go in and take something and create more, as opposed to recoloring something, which would be basically what I would do.
Hey, where did you get this picture of this redhead that you use in the forum?
That's from the vault.
Is it?
Yes, that is.
An avatar from the game?
Yeah, no, it's not from the game. It's one that was created. That is actually of the, it's called Suni, S-U-N-E. It's the representation of the Forgotten Realms goddess Suni. The goddess of love and passion. And beauty.
Did you just cut her head off? Put it in here?
No, it's an actual full portrait pack.
Oh, crap, I want to go see that. Where is that?
You never heard of Soon before?
No. I don't know everything about this world.
Well, she's all over in the Forgotten Realms games.
Yeah, see, I don't know everything about all that stuff. I'm a fanboy.
I know, but, well, Skunk and I will keep you educated.
Okay, so where can I go? So I go to the vault and I can see.
And
it.
If you go to the vault and you type S-U-N-E in the search, I'll bet you come up with it.
Hold on a second.
Something else that you might like, Trey, is if you go to a FR server, look for a Shuress temple.
I played a cleric of Shuress at one point, and boy, did I get some strange propositions. Shuress is the goddess of lust and the way they worship is just this great big party.
You ruined it. I wanted him to go in there and be surprised.
S-U-N-I is what I said?
S-U-N-E. S-U-N-E.
I'm sorry. I don't know all of this. I know. All the lore and stuff. And everybody probably thinks I'm an idiot.
No,
not at all.
Most of the reasons, all right, the Forgotten Realms setting is literally the largest in the world. It literally is. It is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's so much lore for it. That's why it is the largest. And there's so many deities and locations and different factions and such. It requires a lot of reading to get into there. And mostly one of the frustrating things with Forgotten Realms is when players know more than the dungeon master or the module builder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I bet. That's why I could never be a dungeon master. Cause...
I've had the players who've gone, you're wrong. No, I'm not. I'm the DM.
Yeah, well, that's mostly why
die.
A lot of the persistent worlds, like Forgotten Realms setting servers, are pretty much in the minority with Neverwinter Nights.
There's a whole Soon prefab out here.
Yeah.
Well, Portraits. So it's under Portraits? Is that where it's at?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Trey, let me clear this up. You don't really need to know Forgotten Realms lore to get into people's stories, because a lot of folks, they usually change up the lore to whatever they want to because they can. And whenever, like, you end up playing a module or something like that, you know, they usually provide all the information to what they want you to know.
Yeah, it's a great picture. It's one of them that I use as the alternate to my, you know, veiled wise woman that I use on a lot of places as well.
Yeah.
I'm currently reading a Forgotten Realms novel called Tantris, and and it deals with and one of the main characters in it is a cleric of Soon, and he's got himself a scar on his face, which is all like mentally drives him crazy because beauty, their like vanity is like one of their biggest qualities. They heal, they always aim to heal other people's wounds because of they want everything to look beautiful. So yeah, they're really vain characters.
Yeah, I remember that. And I was just thinking about that cleric with his, you know, it's just sure that he's going to be thrown out of the church because he's got this scar on his face now, and it's just devastating for him.
See, this is some of the stuff that I used to miss from the early years of the podcast, where we would talk about, where we just have whole episodes that were just talking about stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really like to see us get back into that.
I mean, you know, that might be that might be
someone,
a nice, you know.
Yeah, like someone people research a piece of the Forgotten Realms and just have a couple people on and talk about it and.
Or how
kind of like
people,
we're doing right now.
Yeah, or how people, what kind of characters people play and what they do to make them live.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a half-orc cleric of Torm, who is, and Torm in the Forgotten Realms is is loyalty and honor and everything else. She was raised by her grandfather, who was a paladin, and he swore that she would never take on the characteristics of her bastard father, and so would beat her unmercifully any time she displayed any orc temper or whatever. And so she speaks no orc. She literally was raised as a paladin. She stands when a woman comes into the room. She, you know, bows, does not curtsy. That kind of, and so she's lawful good and all of that. And I have played her in Neverwinter Nights now for, you know, about 3 years, and she just continues to grow and expand on this very lawful where she's constantly kind of having to fight against the more base urges that, from her orc blood.
I know a lot. I don't really think the Forgotten Realms setting really matters that much anymore. And I am a diehard fan of the, well, 3.5.
I was just using that as an example.
But, yeah, I mean, well, you like the latest Forgotten Realms edition is just completely revamps it. I'm not really too much of a fan of the 4.0, but I haven't bought the books for it yet. But I've been following a lot of the news and information at Wizards of the Coast website, and 4.0 just doesn't really appeal to me. One of the great things with Neverwinter Nights, though, is you could create your own setting, and you don't really have to follow the Forgotten Realms dogma, which...
Right, because people have been some very successful the Wheel of Time Persistent World, the Greyhawk Worlds, D20 Modern. There's so much that you can do with Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, and make your own custom setting. Make your own. That's one of the greatest things that a storyteller could do is when you end up making your own setting. I haven't done that myself, but really.
Because I'm entirely too lazy to go to that much effort when there's the 20 years of Forgotten Realms that I have been DMing.
Oh, yeah, I hear you, too. I like Forgotten Realms more myself because I invested a lot of time into it. But I also like generic settings, which I don't really like the term generic, but custom settings, because lots of them show a great amount of creativity, and my utmost respect goes out to people that have that amount of creativity to make their own custom settings. And matter of fact, I got a book right here in my hands that Ita Surf sent me, Master of the Game by Gary Gygax. And one of the key things that Gary Gygax talks about, being a master dungeon master, is having the creativity to make your own setting and get pretty well known for it. And that doesn't really have to be, you know, just your own small group within your basement. You know, if you got a persistent world that's your own custom game world, and you have like a, say, you know, average of 10 to more players, you're a successful dungeon master.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Because it, you know, any persistent world, regardless of what setting you use, it's the DMs in it and the content that pulls people back and keeps them.
Well, we're also excluding like module makers too. Like, you know, the Island Saga, am I pronouncing that right? From Andarian, you know, that's his own custom setting there.
Oh, and, yeah. Awesome work.
Yeah. Dark Waters by Adam Miller, that's his own setting there too, I believe. And, you know, that's one of the key peaks of your, you know, showing your talents and creativity is doing it. Lately, I've been kind of disgruntled with myself. I've been wanting to focus on pen and paper conversions and throwing some of my own stuff into that. But, you know, I sometimes worry about people thinking, oh, well, he's not being creative enough. But, you know, I need some rails lately with my creativity, trust me, or else I would probably get burned as a witch
Well, Carlo One has, you know, that when he retired from DMFI, that was one of the things that he wanted to do, was to be able to concentrate on doing some of those PNP conversions into mods for Neverwinter Nights 2. So, you know, I don't consider that, or non-creative.
Creative. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, converting a pen and paper module to, you know, any game is a feat in itself. I mean, look at what Peter Jackson did with Lord of the Rings. That was wicked.
Yeah.
And he took out lots of stuff and kind of pretty much made the story his own.
And thank God for that, because the movies were long enough. I don't know that I could have stood 20 minutes of them walking down a road.
Yeah. Or that Tom Bombadil character. I'm kind of glad that's not in there.
Yeah.
Have you ever read the books for it?
Yep. Read them all. But I read them a while. I read them when I was in high school, though, so that's been a long time ago.
Well, I've tried to read them numerous times, and I keep getting waylaid by the 25 pages of describing how they walk down the road.
Yeah.
I just never have been able to get past that, and people call me a heretic because of it.
Yeah.
Back to the soon.
Is that right? Like, yes. Soon-y, yes. Are you still slobbering?
Well, yeah, but
she is beautiful.
I did move on down the page, though. And I noticed that NWN2, there's an NWN2 English module is listed. So when I did a search for soon, you know how the vault, it shows you all the different categories of stuff.
Right.
And harp and chrysanthemum is listed in that search. So does that mean that module is about that?
I could have swore that was his own custom setting too.
So why did that show up in the search for soon?
Hook us up with the link.
Okay, here. I just opened it and I'm kind of glancing down through it.
Well, I know one thing. It's really not too uncommon for folks who make their own custom game worlds and use like bits from other D&D or non-D&D game worlds.
I found it.
Any of their elements.
Yeah, probably anybody who's listening who has already played it probably already knows the answer, but aided by a stern and lovely paladin of Soon. So that's why it showed up.
Yeah.
So I guess the main character is aided by a paladin of Soon.
Which means that she's hot stuff.
Ooh, I'm going to have to go play that.
Yeah, this game's on my wish list, too.
Yeah, very definitely. And if I recall correctly, it is also a AME winner.
Well, Barry and Charissa Eversall, they, with their Anacolia game world setting, they mix and match whatever they want into their custom game world setting, and it's a awesome game world setting, a custom one.
Okay. About bedtime for Monzo.
Yes, but what about you? Yes, bedtime for me as well, because I'm old and need my rest. And that, you know, I was laughing when I was listening to the Girl Gamers Roundtable, and they were talking about people don't believe that they're you know, women. And I get the, not only do they not believe that I'm a woman, but that I'm also a grandmother. who DMs Dungeons and Dragons. They especially when they're like 18 or 19 years old, and they're like, wow, that's just odd. I'm like, what, your mother doesn't play D&D?
Yeah, that's one of the things that amazed me about you after I started getting to know you after last year's NWC Con. And so that's pretty cool. No, I've never known any grandmothers to DM D&D.
Well, it'll keep me young, especially when I'm dealing with people like you, Skunk.
Oh, cool. It makes you unique.
It is. I'm very unique. And if you sneak up on me, you can probably surprise me.
I knew that was coming.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just couldn't resist. I couldn't resist. And on that note, I think it's time for me to say goodnight. And everybody else, get in game and level up.
Until next week.
Get in game.
And level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2009.